Today on Supernormalized, I'm talking with Eric Leigh Pink. Eric is a long-running psychic medium world event forecaster whose work has been archived online for more than a decade. Eric brings symbolic visions and clairaudient messages that he weaves into data predictions, weekly recaps, and live sessions that draw a growing audience on YouTube and his site at worldwidepredictions.com. This episode traces his early contact with spirits, the transition from private readings to public world forecasting, and the personal upheavals of 2025 and how he interprets symbolic scrying into concrete warnings and possible avenues for safer outcomes. This was a great talk. I really enjoyed his understanding, his connection with spirits and how that works for him, because I can resonate that to my own story of life too. So I think you'll enjoy this one. On with the show. Welcome to Supernormalized, Eric Leigh Pink. Eric, you're a world event forecaster and a psychic that has contact with spirits that help you and others. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm really good and I'm really happy to talk to you, Eric. I'm looking forward to talking about everything you do. But just before we started chatting here, you were talking about your contact with spirits. How did that happen? Tell us a bit of your life story and how this all came to you. I mean, what was your life before that? Why are you like this now?
Yeah. It was a journey. I tell you that. It was a very long journey. I was born this way. I had a, was very like poltergeist girl. Like, I am pretty much what that poltergeist girl turns into, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So there was a lot of supernatural activity as a child, and there was a lot of spirits around me back then. Then, as a teenager, I tried to turn it off because it was embarrassing from where I stood. And then when I went to college, and I went on this journey where I wanted to discover myself. I wanted to figure out, who am I inside? It was a very Buddhist moment. It was very, go out in the desert and meditate and connect to the land. And it took me a while to figure out like a process that worked. Yeah. But once I found out, it was a flood. It was a flood of so many different lifetimes, so many different previous incarnations in whatever format. And then I saw a theme. I noticed that I had been doing spiritual work for a very long time. And the theme also added that in almost all of them, it had some world effect to it. Either I was advising leaders or I was guiding Vikings or whatever the case may be, there was always something worldly to it. Mm. And so I then decided, okay, well, I got to do something that's worldly here, And so the spirits and I got together and we're like, let's tell everybody what's going to happen. At first it was very open, but then we, after seeing tragedy after tragedy, we really wanted to focus on stopping tragedy. We really wanted to focus on ending tragedy, right? And so we started writing the world predictions. What unexpectedly happened during that period is because we were always looking at death and destruction, there was another group that were the super ancient beings, like these very, very ancient beings that oversee things dealing with the moment, right? As we're observing it, they're dealing with the moment on the other side. So a relationship slowly formed between the two of us. And then the predictions, like we all work together and make it all work. And it's really cool. But at this point, I really pretty much work for that other side and gather the information from the spirits and then present what they have to say.
So. Right. So you've basically been a psychic to powerful people and beings, using the power of beings and the understanding that you gain from them for many lifetimes. When you had that understanding come to you, I mean, was that like as a child, or I mean, how did that develop as a full understanding?
It shattered everything. It did. because I really saw life the way it really is, that it's a story.
Yeah.
It continues. It continues from one lifetime after another time. I hear Westerners always say like karma is like when you do something bad happens to you, but that's not karma. karma is more of a story playing out. You know, I had a wonderful moment with my father where in one lifetime he took care of me as I was passing, and in this lifetime I took care of him as he was passing. So that's the storylines that kind of pop up to where I can see it so clearly and obviously, like, I need to be here in this moment and I need to be here to help my father to complete the story, you know, not just for him, but for the story itself. So it was just very eye-opening to see and understand how life operates and the understanding that I'm building bricks, that each time I'm doing this, I'm getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's really, and yet to get there requires tragedy, requires pain, requires, you know, it fails, right? All of that is there to ensure the elevation. So, and yet at the same time, you're also building relationships. Like whether you're having war or whatever the case may be, we are building relationships, just like my father again, where as time passes, it's inevitable. It's inevitable that we reach this space where all of us are getting along and that we reach this space where all of us have evolved into something greater than what we are. And that there I understood, and yet we're still in that state. We're still learning. So,
I had in the past a lot of contact with spirits, and one of the things that I was noting that was distressing for me was the state of the world and how it was going. And because like way back then, I'd talk about things. It was all coming apart. Basically, I could see it so obviously because I have this meta vision that was going on. And I'd ask them, I'd say, look, I want to help everybody. And they said, well, just help. You're here to help yourself first. And as a part of helping yourself, that helps others. So, you know, don't worry. We know what we're doing. It looks like a disaster, but that's a part of the story. And I was like, oh, that's hard to live with. And they said, well, sometimes it's hard to wake up. You know, it's a birth, you know, and births can be messy. Can you describe a childhood vision that later proved significant?
Yeah. I was staring at the TV. It was George Bush Sr. And I didn't know who it was. I was a kid. I was like 5 or 6. I don't know. And the spirits are around me. And they're like, oh, that one there, he's going to be president. You know? And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I think it was about a couple weeks later, but they were both on stage and they introduced him. He says, this is the vice president of the United States. And I turned around to the spirits. I said, you guys are wrong. He's only the vice president. And they said, just wait. And so that would be one of the very first predictions. AIDS was another one that was very dark. And, you know, it was kind of like a rough start there with presenting that. But the details, the precise details that we give, like January 6th, blacked out, liberty, which was once held sacred, would be trampled, right? So on one end, we create that, we build that, and then we hand it to, you know, the bosses on the other side, and they change it a bit. Like, they put in the word trampled. They were like, this word changes. We need trampled. It was like, okay, well, I don't know. And that very much fit with January 6th. So it was one of those things where we created as a group and build it in this understanding that we're watching the future. So,
how did the losses of 2024 and 2025 change your relationship to your work?
Well, it was a journey for me. This is in 2020, what was it, 24? I was the caretaker of both my parents as they were passing away. So I was watching over them, helping them, and then they just passed one after another. So all of a sudden, I had my two kids. And everything was falling apart. I mean, it was just all just falling apart. And so the next thing you know, I'm living here in Chicago on my friend's sofa. And for some reason, that's when it all just came together on the work. Like, we switched over to YouTube and all of a sudden the audience just started growing and growing and growing, and it hasn't slowed down. And I was like, what just happened? And so it was almost like they wanted me to finish taking care of my parents. You know, they wanted me to like complete this task before moving on to the next one. So there was a very karmic moment to it. We came here to Chicago and we immediately started getting to work. I mean, I gave a list earlier of all the different predictions, from Epstein being delayed, the files will be delayed, to Trump declaring war twice, to the revolution of Iran. All of that, we just started writing and writing and writing, and we just put it out there. So it was one of those moments. And then they also referenced old predictions that we wrote long, long time ago and said, that one's happening now. So, and it, we just kept making these videos that, you know, said, here's what's coming next. So,
do you have any daily practices that you use to stay grounded when going through and working?
There can be no ego in this work, not one ounce. So there's a lot of practicing where I go in the, literally right after I'm off the phone, right after I'm done here, I have to go into nature. And whether it be the lake or where the squirrels are amongst the trees, I sit there and I meditate and I imagine myself becoming nature. I imagine myself sort of sinking into it, becoming it, removing my own self from the equation. So in that act, in the act of really meditating and sort of relinquishing all things, it sort of revives me. It sort of kind of recharges me. And then I come home and I have to meditate again. But that meditation is more geared towards like Siddhartha, the Buddha, where we're just sitting there in a state of silence and breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. That's more designed to kind of empty one's minds and thoughts, so that the information they provide comes in through clearly. And then there's also intent. At the end of the day, as I go to sleep at night, usually the last night was all about like, okay, I need world predictions. Hello, come on, give them to me. But normally it's to quest, I'll request clarity. I'll say clarity. And I'll put that out there for the next day if I have a lot of readings or something like that. So that's a process I have to follow on a regular basis, you know. And the most essential part is the first part. So, and the first part really allows you to connect to the universe, to the planet. You're kind of saying as you meditate there, I'm listening to you, right? And yet at the same time, you're also dispelling any ego that you have. You know, that's one of the things they very much stand against. And they stand against it because it has no weight. Like they showed me, I said, well, what is this state of nothingness? What do you mean by that state of nothingness? And I said, listen, you are a speck on a very huge planet. And that planet is a speck in a very large galaxy. And that galaxy is a speck. And the cosmos. So what do you think? And I was like, oh, okay, get it now.
Do you get like symbolic images and you translate them into specific dates and times? How does that appear for you?
Well, yesterday it was Jiffy peanut butter. And Jiffy peanut butter was almost empty. And then they showed a symbol of the eagle, gold eagle, and a couple other symbols, and they all turned to stone. And then, and literally in front of me, I'm awake now, and there's this logo of the Chase Bank coming together. So either A, money is coming in a jiffy for me, that's possible, but more likely it's a world prediction, in which case they're implying that there's a leader, a president, who's raiding all the money, who's just taking it, like making it theirs. So I think that's the prediction. I just need to go back and verify it. But that would be an example. And then the one before that is very popular right now, where we saw a ship and it was on fire and it had USS on it. And we saw it, and then they brought up an old prediction where they said Saudi Arabia, the Strait, would be attacked. And they talked about the ships and the whole nine yards. And this is when Trump was starting to say, okay, it's over, peace is done, right? And so we said, no. It's going the opposite direction. So, and then that's what happened. The way it starts normally, that one was unique, but the way it starts normally is we step into the future, and to step into the future is to understand that it's, the concept goes that it's not past, present, future, that it's the past and the future sort of smashing and creating a now. right? And so if we stand over here from the past, however strange that sounds, we can see the reflection of what's about to come, if that makes any sense.
How can you tell when a symbol is literal versus metaphorical?
In the state, usually the beginning of the process is aware. It's like we just pop into some space. So for instance, we just landed in some space. There was a flood. It was huge. It was a huge flood. And we're like, okay, where are we? We're all, me and the spirits are looking, where are we got? Okay. Well, it's warm. It's him, you know, and we're looking at the houses and we're trying to guess, like, where are we? And in this particular case, the houses were very colorful. So it was like, okay, this is either Brazil or Argentina, you know. And then we smelled the ocean and it's like, well, we don't see a lot of big mountains. So we're going with Brazil. So there's a certain guesswork here, you know. And so we said Brazil, and then we were trying to figure out the city, but we couldn't figure that out. But we made the prediction all the same and ended up being in Sao Paulo. But yeah, like that's how it would operate. There, that piece there feels literal. Like it feels like I could smell the air. I could see everything. It's almost like you're really there, you know? And in that process, as you're really there, then afterwards comes the more symbolic messages. Like they showed a boa constrictor moving left, moving right, moving left. And the only thing I could figure out was that this would lead to large rivers overflowing. That's what the boa constrictor meant, you know, because I didn't understand why are we looking at this in the flood. And I was right. It was the rivers just started overflowing in the most horrifying way.
Right.
So there's a part of it that almost comes across as real, followed by usually symbolic gestures.
Does clairaudience play a role alongside the visual scrying for you?
I have figured out a way, you know, going back to the beginning, going back to me being Caroline. I mean, if you think of that movie, The Poltergeist, right, to get sucked into a closet of light. But as a child, I asked questions. Why is there light here? Why are you in the closet? Who am I talking to? Who are you? You know, I just kept asking and asking and asking and asking, and they answered. So clairaudience, clairvoyance, the knowing, the act of omnology, numerology, astrology, all of it's connected to this work. So, and a lot of that also goes back to me remembering lives. You know, I'm actually in a state right now remembering lives, and I'm remembering I was a palmist. So I've attached all of those to it. Clairaudience specifically is used by a very specific spirit. His name's Mika. He actually runs the world predictions. And he'll add a voice sometimes and say, hey, no, it's this way or that way. Or, you know, what was the last prediction? Well, he's the one that said, protect the ships. Like that became the title of the video. Protect the ships. So, yeah, it has an attached part, yeah.
Do you have any checks or rituals that you use to reduce any misinterpretation?
Not really. I just present what they say. I've learned to sort of present what they say. I will say there's a symbol that I use that's a dragon, right? And that dragon symbol is all it is an incense burner. It just has an incense burner, right? And so I do burn things like myrrh and frankincense and things of that caliber to kind of say, okay, the divine spirits can come through the room, but nobody else, right? You know, it's almost like, that's it, right? You know, and so there's even spirits. I'm like, I'm sorry, do we know him? Should he be in here? You know, and then the spirits are like, excuse me, you know, move on, go. So it's down to a science where as a group, we kind of know each other. Yeah. And on top of that, you know, as you were pointing out, like possession, they don't allow anyone to speak to me. Like it goes through channels, right? Like I can see the other spirit, but the other spirit has to talk to my spirits, and then my spirits have to talk to me, right? To ensure that whatever's coming through, I know and trust the information.
Sounds like a very strong and protective spirit team.
It is. We ran a cup doing these world predictions. We did actually run across some. Like, oh, these guys are making us our enemies. So the spirits started to find it necessary to like protect me, like, oh, he needs guards.
With your information that you receive, how do you balance warning people without causing panic?
That's a really good question. It was something that throughout as I went along, we had to learn. And what we came up with was we needed to ensure the caliber, right? So when we say, when you look at, say, the Gaza famine prediction, it goes into extensive, like, this is grotesque on a scale that's beyond pale, right? But then when we look at another war or another battle, it's like, okay, that was a small little battle. You know, we try and calibrate very hardly, like, you know, this is where the levels are, you know, because when people say, well, Eric, is the big one going to happen in California now? And I'm like, well, there's an earthquake, but it's not a big one. You know, I mean, it's large, it's destructive, but you're talking about the mega one, and that's not coming right now. So I think it's more or less the calibration. But at the same time, with the work I do, I've come to realize, yeah, you kind of have a Darth Vader kind of aspect to it, where it's just like doom and gloom. I see that, yeah. It's one of those things where we have to manage it and sort of, sometimes we just step back and say, okay, maybe we'll take a break from predicting for a while.
Have you ever withheld a message because you felt it would do more hurt than help?
Yes. If you read the prediction about the war in Israel, it reads, Hamas violates homeland security. And then it talks about women and children violated. We're not going to share that scene. You know, we're not going to share, like I asked Mika, I said, how do you want me to present what we're looking at here? And he said, briefly, you know, and so it was just kind of like, you know, I actually wanted to share the whole thing. And they were like, absolutely not. Like, and I'm just like, we're editing this down to just a couple of sentences. And they were like, yeah. So it was kind of their judgment call. And I just went with it. I know they're far more wiser than I am. So I don't, you know, I question it, but that's about it. So, And then there are other moments where I'm just like, no, I'm the one that's like, no, I am not putting that out there, you know? and so for instance, it was like right after COVID and the vision was us standing in front of Mars and it was super red. And I knew exactly what that meant. It meant war was coming. And I'm like, are you serious? We just got over a virus and you're telling us war is coming? I'm like, I am not putting that out there. You know, it was just too doomy to say that, oh, we just got over this virus, but guess what? We're all going to war. But it happened. So, I mean, that's what happened. But I just was like, that's too dark. Come on. So there's a back and forth. There is a back and forth. And then sometimes the boss will step in and say, excuse me, can you please post that? And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, I would say not everyone is as tuned in as you are and your audience. How do you handle the critics that say that you're being opportunistic or anything like that? I mean, obviously they're idiots. I side with you because, you know, I've been through what you've been through for a long time too. So how do you handle them? Because I'm interested to know.
I don't. No. I mean, I serve at the leisure of the spiritual realm.
Good.
I represent the spiritual realm. I have this wonderful, wonderful, I feel like the drummer boy in the Christmas song, right? Like I get to play my drums for this, which is far greater than anything I could imagine, right? And what an honor. But if there's someone behind me saying, you suck, I'm just like, I'm playing my drums, you know?
Yeah.
There have been times, like for instance, the criticism roared when I got the elections wrong in the States, right? And in no way did I think Donald Trump would win again, but it did. And it really bothered me because we still had predictions about Trump. And then when he won, it was like, oh, these predictions are coming now. I'm like, did you not know that? You know? And so there was almost this sense of like, hey, let's get it together, guys. But at the same time, there was another prediction that we were supposed to finish that was floods in Spain. Now, the spirits, they didn't care about the election. They really, I mean, it was a big prediction, but they were more concerned with the flood in Spain. They're like, how come we didn't finish that? What were you guys doing? You know, things like that. But as it goes for the elections, they were like, meh, you know, and yet the criticism on the internet was all about the elections. So, I just focus on what they have to tell me and what they say. I think it's safe to say the one thing I've learned about being a spiritualist is you're there to help people, right? You're there to give to people. You're there to give your energy to these people, right? When you become more advanced, you become more selective. Like, I'm not going to waste my time with this here when I can spend my time helping somebody else, right? So, and that's just the logic behind it. Normally, when I see the critics come in, I just joke with them. Like, this guy is on there. He says, I don't believe a word you say. I don't believe anything you have to put out there. And I said, okay, here, have a cookie. I hope you're sweeter tomorrow, you know, and that's it.
What else can you do, really?
Yeah, because I'm not here. I'm here to serve the spiritual realm, and it's an honor. But the human side is a bit secondary. I don't know what to tell you.
How do you structure a personal reading compared with a world prediction?
Oh, they're nothing alike. Okay. And that's one of the things that get me burned a lot, is the world predictions is a hunt. We're hunting. We're hunting for problems. We're looking for problems. We have scouts and all sorts of different, like, we have concerns over Lula's health in Brazil. But we haven't really seen anything yet to affect that. So we have eyes on all things, but it's more of a, I don't want to say predator, but it's like a lion going through and hunting, right? Mm-hmm. The readings are separate. Just like I told you before, where it's like talking to grandma, like, you know, honey, listen. I told you not to get together with that guy. I don't know why you didn't listen to me. You know, and they just talk and talk and talk. And 9 times out of 10, about half the reading, you won't be able to talk. I'll just be talking and telling you what the spirits have to say. So it's fun. It's enjoyable. You know, they make it comical. You know, for instance, Diana, the spirit, this little old lady that I'm talking about, she presents herself in a Betty Crocker outfit in the vision, and she's opening the oven with her mitts, and she looks inside, and I'm looking inside with her, and there's a little bun, you know, starting to poof. She says, it's not ready yet, but it's definitely coming soon, you know, and all she's saying here is there's a baby coming, a bun in the oven, so to say, you know, but she makes it fun. She makes it enjoyable for the person that's having the reading, and comical almost. So you don't get that from my world predictions. It's pretty much, you know, what's happening in the world, and that's never normally nice. And then there's the part where we are trying to alter tragedies. I get a lot of criticism for not putting any good news out there. But that's not the objective. So there's a certain layer where it does kind of look darker than it is, but it's not. I know it's not. So
yeah. What spiritual skills do you teach most often? And
I've come to understand that nature is probably the biggest key to being a spiritualist. Jesus Christ had 40 days and 40 nights. And Siddhartha had the tree. John the Baptist had a river. He had a mountain and a garden. And I can go on and on and on. The prophet had a cave. The nature part, the aspect of nature, is just absolutely essential for anyone that does this work. It's the cleansing factor. It's the one both fueling everything and also removing everything. It removes all of that negative. It dumps all that negative energy you collected. Because any seer is collecting, any psychic, any clairvoyant is pulling in all of this energy from people, and some of it's dirty energy. So going out in nature and just dumping it all and then being refilled with the most purest of all clear energy, that piece is essential. Otherwise, you become unfeathered. So that would be the number one key, you know, in all of the things that I've learned, is without that, the power and the level of energy that I would have, it wouldn't come close. So, and not only that, but there's certain places in the world where there's more energy. And this is why they build temples and all in the middle of nowhere, you know, because they know those places are spiritual.
Mm. Do you have any practical advice that you would give empaths or healers that are just starting out?
There's this beautiful message that I received from those divine beings. We were in space, and I was next to planet Earth, and I'm looking at the sun, but I'm right next to the moon. And her voice comes through, and she says, "We are the sun, providing light, providing illumination, providing love to everything that is around us. You are the moon, reflecting our light, representing us. Do not stand in the way of the light. Make sure that you hold to the full moon so that you may illuminate those around you." So again, we go back to ego. Again, we go back to this understanding that all ego needs to be dispelled. Stop thinking about what others think about you. Like, there's no way I would be able to do what I do if I was worried about what others thought of me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm literally getting on front of a stage and say, "Excuse me, I speak to dead people. Hello." You know, like, it's just not something people do. So, and yet that's what I do. So there's a sense of, I just don't care to a certain extent. Over your, you know, people who that don't believe or, you know, and I get it. So
we live in a soup of spirits, and they're around us and affecting all aspects of our lives all of the time. And whether you believe that or not, it still happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I go back, people say, well, you know, he was trying to convince me, this person was trying to convince me to talk to this atheist and convince him, you know, hey, there's a God. And I was like, no. And it's like, he's going to pass away and meet the sun at some point in time, and that reality will arrive. You know, it's just like, let this go and let this be, you know, and move forward.
Mm. When a prediction resonates with somebody, what are any immediate steps they should take?
I usually give them that answer. Famously, I gave this, it was my friend, and we're in the car together. And I said, I think you're getting into an accident. You know, I see you on a phone and then you're crashing into a car. And she's like, Eric, don't you be telling me that. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I barely feel it. And, then I told her, I said, listen, if you don't have the phone, then this accident's probably not going to happen. You know, and it ended up happening, but it was a fender bender. And I said, did you have the phone? And she says, no. So there was almost this sense of, okay, well, you didn't prevent it per se, but you diminished it.
Yeah,
you made it much smaller. Yeah, diffused it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And it's acts like that have me so obsessed with these world predictions, knowing I can change it.
Yes.
Knowing that, wait a second, if I can change it for her, and I can change it for my mom, and I can change it in the readings, how do I do it on a global scale? You know, I haven't figured that out yet, but it's clear, it is clear to me that it's absolutely possible.
So. I believe that too. And every night I do a prayer of peace for all beings and all dimensions. And I call in the angels and the spirits of all dimensions to pray alongside me. And whoever turns up, turns up. So, yeah, I hope that helps. Now, how can people discern when a forecast requires action versus calm observation?
I think it comes down to, can you change it, right? Like, I'm saying protect the ships, right? That's the title of the story. But are we going to be able to protect the ships? Like, is that in our ability to affect? You know what I mean? Like, so there's almost this sort of, okay, it was an accurate prediction, but move on. But we're moving into weather time. We're moving into bad weather. And that there, if I promote and put out there, yeah, that could bring change. People could look at that and say, okay, he just predicted the ship thing. Maybe we should leave, you know, that's what we're headed towards. Right. We're headed towards that space where we can kind of break through at first and then crack it all. But we're not there yet. And the thing of it is the darkness is overwhelmingly organized and structured and controlling. And just this sort of like everything is planned out. And so seeing what they're doing is actually kind of easy. But at the same time, so if we save just a handful of lives, they have to rewrite. Their plans are out. Like, these people weren't supposed to be there before. So there's a certain level of that as well.
How do you see your role evolving over the next 5 years? Do you get any intuitions around that?
I think I'm getting to this place where, you know, I'm not trying to sound, but, you know, we just talked about ego, but I don't think I can go much farther than where I'm at, you know? So there's a shift in my head, and I can feel it, where I want to teach. I haven't gotten there yet, and I'm starting to teach online with the YouTube site. But for now, I want to sort of break through. I want my goal. I want to break through these predictions that I have at SEC. But eventually, I think I'm going to be a teacher. I've come to that conclusion. So,
What do you think you'll be teaching with your courses?
Oh, how to do this. Nobody gave me a manual. It took me forever to figure it out. Yeah. I want a manual the next time I'm here.
I can understand that. How can independent researchers best check your archives and basically understand more about your work?
You know, if you went to YouTube, I have these videos where it's like a week in review. And you can click on any of those weeks in reviews and really see the predictions that I've made, the predictions, and go back to the old predictions, say, okay, Trump declares war on Iran twice, and see and understand, you know, okay, well, dated was here, it was 8 months ago, you know, and see it pretty clearly. We designed it in such a way where we're putting the prediction out there and you're going to see, yeah, that happened. So. So technically, all you would have, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Technically, all you would have to do is sort of scroll through some of the videos and you'll see it, especially with the weekend reviews. And then we had the year in review where we really went through all of them.
Do you keep a tally of the ones that are the winners and the ones that are like, that's close, but not a prize?
Not really. Again, I serve the spiritual realm. It's their message. So it's almost like being a mailman, I guess. Mm. So it's like, hey, this one's returned, you know. but you know, I critique them and say, hey, you kind of missed it on that one. What happened? But outside of that, no, I don't keep any tally or anything like that. I'd probably go insane if I did, though, because there's just so much horror there that I'm just like, oh. So
I know with my own divination practice that when I've got a prediction from the divination, I know that's just a possibility. And there's so many factors that even from that timestamp of that time that reading was done, that could actually modify the results. So it's such a moving goalpost. It's nearly impossible to track. So I understand that. If you could ask listeners to act on one collective intention, what would it be?
Connect me to divinity, right? Like that really just sums it up. There's this all-powerful being that I endlessly talk to called the Shimmer. And to this day, I don't know what the being is, but it seems to have its hands on all things. It's a beautiful, beautiful, like smoky energy that comes through and there's ambers of light. And it's so huge and gigantic, but then out of this smoke pops out of the little boy. You know, and he's always this dressed up like he's going to an Indian wedding. And I wanted to do world predictions, right? And he started to recite the law of Abraham. It says here, honor thy mother and father. What are you arguing about your mother with? You know, and it's just like, what are we talking about, Jimmy? Like, where's the world prediction? No. We're talking about this, you know. so they give you grandpa and grandma advice. They give you this sort of, you know, hey, honey, do it. You're doing it wrong. Okay. Like they give that to you. And that there allows you to kind of be guided in a way where you're on the right path. Like another piece is I had this event where me and my mother accidentally took a tide. You know, tied laundry soap accidentally out and got into the car and she's like, should we return it? And I'm like, no, I'm not walking all the way back to the store. So we got in the car and left and they were like, no, you need to return that. Shame on you, Eric. And I didn't. And they threw it off. They literally threw it off the table. A huge mess on the floor.
Oh.
to make their point. Yeah.
Yeah. So. What gives you hope when the visions are heavy?
Absolute hope. Ah. I don't see a world like you look at the world today and now. The world of the future is no more war, no more inequality, no more racism, no more aging. That one was odd. No, the world is transforming, and it's transforming into something better. You don't see it. I mean, we are looking at this current state of affairs, but I would counter with, like, no, it is changing. Like, right now, the wars, Trump's spending something like $25 to $35 million so far. And that's money we're going to have to pay. Oh, and that means healthcare is going to be cut. That means this is going to be cut. And that's going to be cut just to pay for your battle. And so people are going to start saying, wait a second, why aren't you fixing our water taps? You know, like in Iran. You know, what are you doing? You're just all attacking each other and not really focused on us at all, you know? And so there's a sense of the people were, the next stage that we're predicting is this really cool part where it says, you know, we're all worried about autocrats rising. And the reality is, no, the people will be like, that's it. We've had it with you. You are fired. You know, and that's what's coming around the corner. It's already kind of started. You see it in certain nations. Peru has that going on right now. Things of that caliber. So There was this vision, this very powerful vision. It really explained it. The same vision with the Mars, where they had announced, the spiritual realm had announced, that they would, in fact, be visiting Earth, that they would go over to Earth and send their advisors and sort of bring order to this space. So we're expecting these two prophet-like figures, and then we're expecting this messianic-like figure who changes the world dramatically. And then there's a little old grandma in the future that also changes the world dramatically. All these different figures that are now coming to be born. And in the vision, it ends with these demons down below in a cave, and they're all wailing like, look, our empire is gone, our empire is gone. And the leader of this group turns around and says, no, they're not taking our empire. Explain it to them, you know? And that's when the war started, right? So there's a certain layer of, from my perspective, the world's not really falling apart. It's more like evil has been cornered and is responding like a rabid dog. Mm. You know, that it's over. They know it's ending. It's coming to its close. And now they're just reacting like, you know, we're not going out quietly.
Yeah. Yeah. It does, has that feel of a sudden acceleration of crazy.
Rabid. It's all,
yes. Yes. Yeah. Rabid. Yeah. It's got that feel to it. So, I don't know. I picked this lifetime to enjoy this story, so I'm here for that. What else can
it's
you be
here for? It's a transitional one. Yeah, it is. It's a big transition.
It is. So we've come towards the end of the podcast, Eric. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Do you have any tips for people out there and how they can find you? How can they follow your daily and weekly recaps? Tell us.
Yeah. Psychic Predictions by Eric Lee Pink. I'm on YouTube. We have a wonderful size of subscribers there. You can also reach us at worldwidepredictions.com. And that's where I do all my work, especially with the YouTube. The YouTube is the one that's really getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So
nice. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, CJ.
Thank you so much, Eric. That was really, really good. I've appreciated all that you shared there. And I look forward to talking to you again in the future. Now, just a note to my listeners, I'm going to actually pull back the amount of production that I've been doing, which is weekly, to fortnightly, just because I'm actually going through a bit of a life transition here. So if you've enjoyed today's show, just realize that I'll be coming out fortnightly going forward. And if you're on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe. And on a podcast app, give me 5 stars and say something nice. And if you'd like to make a nice comment, I'd really appreciate that too. Thank you so much for enjoying this show, and I'm sure you'll enjoy these ones too. Subscribe.